look tonight at a hero called Enoch. You may have heard of him, you may not, but he's a very inspiring man. And I have really, really enjoyed reading about Enoch this week. Now, Enoch, who was he? Well, he's way, way back at the beginning of the world, pretty much. So if you start at Adam, he's seven after Adam. He's seventh after Adam. So he's Adam's four greats. So great, 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 great grandson. And then if we go a wee bit further down the line to another familiar name, we get Noah. So he was Noah's great grandfather. So if that puts him in the line for you, that's where he is in those list of names. Seventh after Adam and great grandfather to our Noah, who we do know, Noah with the big boat, that guy. So what was it like in the time of Enoch? Well, it's hard to know. There really isn't much written about Enoch, but we do know what it was like in the time of Noah. And if we look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become upon the earth all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth." It's a variable, and it's the prelude to Noah and the ark. But with Enoch and God saying how great evil and wickedness had become, we can only assume that this has been a kind of a gradual process. It didn't just go bang, wickedness, evil. So for generations and generations, it's been building up. So in the time of Enoch, that wickedness was on the up. It was on the increase. And that was when he lived as a man of God. We first read about him in the Bible in Genesis chapter 5. Now, we're going to do a wee bit of pattern spotting here. If we can get Genesis chapter 5 up from verse 3, there's a lot written here, but I'm just going to read a few of the verses till we start to notice the pattern, because it teaches a lot about Enoch when we realize what the pattern was. So, we'll start at Adam. Good place to start. "When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years, and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. After he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 912 years, and then he died. When Enosh had lived, Enosh lived 850 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived," turn here. So he lives, he has his first son, he lives a bit more, and he lived a bit more, and he died. So we've got this pattern that goes on and on through that list from Adam. When Jared, we'll start with his father, when Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of God. And then he was no more, because God took him away. But wow. Wow. He walked faithfully with God. Everybody had walked with God. They were from what Bible scholars, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I've done a bit of Googling. Bible scholars what called the godly line of Seth. And so these were here. He's a bit special. He didn't just live. He walked faithfully with God. That puts him in a very exclusive club in the Bible, a club of two, of people who didn't actually die. Elijah, maybe more familiar with Elijah, and he goes away on the big golden chariot. I don't know, we don't really get to know what a wonderful foretaste of what's to come, because we can read that and think, well, does that even happen? And it does, and it will. Who wants to, I think I'd rather be raptured than die. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians 1:9, "And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, those who are alive here, and thus we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another." Now, I'll be honest with you, a wee bit of personal testimony. In my younger years, that was not comforting. Terrifying. Terrifying. But as Christians, it kind of lies. This is the real hope that you're called to. This, what a comfort. And I realized in my own heart, the reason I was kind of finding that more scary, we fall in love with Jesus. We get a different love in our heart. And I didn't have enough of that. What if I see all my lovely family whooshing up into the clouds and I'm like, yeah. But when you have that blessing in our hearts, then that is the biggest comfort you can ever know and give and receive. Gone off in a wee rabbit hole there. But anyway, we'll come back. So what else do we know about Enoch from the prophet? He walked faithfully with God. He was a friend of God, so it's no real surprise someone is hearing what God's saying and presenting it to others, and to walk with God is to hear his voice. Heard of. And Debbie, you can calm down. I'm not going to open up the book of Enoch. It's a bit of a can of worms. He was a prophet, but the book of Enoch, as it exists today, was actually written years and years after Enoch. So it's the actual Enoch wrote the book. Anyway, that's a wee bit of explanation why we don't open up the book of Enoch in our Bibles. So we know that there's some good in there, and there are things, obviously, that Enoch said in his generation as a prophet. So in the book from Adam, prophesied about them, saying, "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his hosts they have committed in their ungodliness." And all of the defiant words, ungodly sinners. It just shows us the kind of generation he lived in and the kind of things that God was saying to him about his generation. Come Jude, in the New Testament, after Christ has returned, he was prophesying not only to his own generation, the return of Jesus. So he was one with God's voice in his ear. Now, this Enoch was a prophet, and I'm going to put my geek gear on for this. Can we have a bit? It's Maddie, where's my maths friend? Great. We've got at least one who loves maths. So if we're going to dress up stuff, Shona Ballantyne, obviously. Everybody else. Not because she's a geek. I haven't even tried this out. You know that? Do I look a bit Einstein-esque now? Is that it? I've no idea what I look like. I haven't practiced this. And I think the wig might fall off. But anyway, so we're looking. Well, from the little we've read there, I've already told you he had a son, and his son was called Methuselah. No. His name means, just hold this thought and then we'll do our Bible algebra and then it'll all make, I don't think that's going to come up in the list of top 10 baby names anytime soon. But anyway, so that's Methuselah. That was his son. He called him his death shall be that now. So here we go. You ready for your maths? Can we have Genesis chapter 5? Bible, that's just me in a box. Okay. Genesis chapter 5 verses the ages and the numbers and all the rest of it. And he gave birth to who and then he died. So Methuselah became daddy to Lamech at 187. So equals Lamech plus 187. So if you've got a child and you give, I mean, our son. Anyway, so Methuselah's going to always be 187. Lamech becomes daddy to Noah at 182. So that plus 182. Okay? Right, here we go. Can someone tell Noah died at age 969? The longest living man ever. So it was Noah when Methuselah died. Maddie's on it. I can see it. She's churning the clocks. Anybody got that? Okay, so I'll go for it. Sorry? Oh, no. Noah's age will always equal Methuselah's age. I know I'm looking at it on my sheet. You guys are only 369. Which means if he died when he was 969, I should have brought a prize. So there we go. Now, let's have a look. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came to the earth. So either Methuselah got killed in the flood, or he was right on the money, whether or not right on it. But what a lovely picture of God's mercy. The Lord, God knew when he gave the name for Methuselah, he knew that when this guy dies, two by two, but actually it was massive judgment. Massive judgment. And how old when God finally says, I'm going to do this. And he's the same now. He's not a God new every morning, and he loves his people. So there we have it. Enoch lived. And our verse there, a description of Enoch. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Walk faithfully with God. Walk by faith. We walk by faith. Now, Mum's going to laugh here because I'm reading a book now that my dad's passed on to me called, anyone's read it, I'm really enjoying it. I thought about trying to rush through and read the whole thing so I could speak to you about it properly, but then I thought I'm in the process of reading it. And it's been really speaking to me about this walking, about this, because I can't really put it better than a published person. Get the right page. So that's because we kind of all know. We know in our knower, don't we? We're all going a wee bit too fast. And to change it where necessary. So anyway, I'll just read a wee section here. There's a kind of busyness where your life is full. By that definition, Jesus himself was busy. The problem isn't when you have a lot to do, it's to hurry. This new speed of life isn't Christian value in Christ's kingdom economy. That's easy. Love. Jesus made that clear in all your mind and all your strength. But love is painfully time-consuming. Hurry and love are incompatible. All my worst moments, he's speaking now, as a human being, are when I'm in a hurry. late for an appointment, behind on an unrealistic to-do list, trying the antithesis of love. So how fast are we living? There's a solution. I do know that there is a way that Jesus has called us to live. Jesus to jog with us in between the school run and everything else. He wants to walk with us. From Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble is easy and my burden is light. Amen. That's what we're called to. Don't fall into all this with his walking with God. Well, I'm going to give you his name meaning as well, because his name meaning is brilliant. That's a walking name. That's a walking with God name. Dedicated. And Enoch was such a man. Trained. And we see that in the verses we've just read. See, that's probably why I'm going to have to read the whole of this book a couple of times and the Bible quite a few more to learn these things. It's just getting it into our head to do it his way and not our way. Trained. The scripture there talks about a yoke. It means you're kind of joined together with a big wooden thing. When they yoked animals together, they'd yoke a young one with an old one, a wise one, to go the pace of the wise one, the slow one. And Jesus is saying, come, go at my pace. It's a slow, you just get hurt. So that's what he's asking us to do, to slow down. And the last old-fashioned word, isn't it, discipline? We're all quite happy to say that we're disciples, but sometimes I think, well, the word disciples without discipline. And there's a quote from Dallas Willard that my dad shared with me this week. Opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. And sometimes I think in our eagerness to live by it, those spiritual disciplines that are so important, so good, spending time to pray. Simple spiritual disciplines. And I'm speaking to myself here because I know I need this, because we're not investing in those spiritual disciplines. So walking by faith tonight, because he is, of course, mentioned in our Hall of Faith. Where we are introduced to him in the New Testament. Now, faith is he. What an amazing definition of faith. Isn't that wonderful? This is what the ancients were commended for. Isn't that wonderful? But actually, this verse is just saying, I'm just going to start by saying they all did the same thing. The thing that they're here, think about them, the reason they're here is because of that faith, that confidence in what they hold. Dougie speak. They're all getting the same badge. There's maybe not enough young ones here for you, Dougie. But anyway, because it's not what they did, it's how they did it that lands them in the Hall of Faith. And Enoch is, oh, jinx. That's a life of faith. I've not done any of that. But Enoch's such a breath of, is there? There's no big wah moan. And so often we can think we know these other ones in the Hall. Wonderful story. We think we know Deborah's story, but actually what we know of Deborah's story probably was only years of her life. And Enoch fills in that blank for all of them, because that's what they were all doing in the in-between before anything kicked off. And it's just knowing that it's that walking by faith that landed them all there. Well, they walked with God. And we see in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken. I don't really know how that moment looked. I've spent a bit of time thinking about that. But Enoch must have been involved in death. He stepped into something there, didn't he? Don't know exactly how. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he... What a going home moment. He maybe didn't know exactly. He probably... Well, he would do. But that final step for Enoch, I think it was just like all the others. I think it was just another... Faith doesn't know, just as we've read. Faith doesn't mean we know exactly what God is doing. But it enables us. And I know it takes me to good places. Enoch was a friend of God. And that's my desire, ladies. And I know that that's many of your desires also, is to be a friend of God, knowing his voice and listening to him and walking with him. The cross is open. Come and be prayed for. Be encouraged as we pray for one another. But thank you, God, life of faith. Thank you, God, that you call us to walk by faith and not by sight. And thank you, God, that we can trust in you to lead us and guide us. God, I pray that we would... God, if there's anything in our lives right now that we're struggling to trust in you for, God, that we would just continually hand over to you the trust that we have in you. Thank you, God, that all of our hope is in you. Pray that you bless each and every woman here tonight as we go on from this place, Lord Jesus, that we would walk in tune with you and hearing your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.